God sees what other people have missed. And Jesus said that even a cup of cold water that's given in his name will certainly not go without its reward. The judgment of God that should bring fear to those who carry secret sins should bring comfort and joy to those whose good works in Christ are hidden from view.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, today we continue a message we began last time, where we were taking a look at what gospel leadership looks like in the local church.
Yeah, and you know, I think there can hardly be a subject that is more often discussed and debated among Christian believers these days than the subject of Christian leadership. I mean, what should we look for in leaders? What should Christian leaders in the church be like? And of course, the big question is, does God have anything to say about this? And we're looking in 1 Timothy in chapter 5 at the most wonderful wisdom in the Word of God in regards to Christian leadership. And I hope that as we look at this today, that it will be genuinely helpful and perhaps even healing for all of us as we submit our minds and our hearts to the Word of God today.
Well, we're going to look at this from the book of 1 Timothy. We're in chapter 5, looking at verses 17 to 25. So join us there as we continue our message, Gospel Leadership. Here is Pastor Colin.
Now, I hope you have your Bible open so we can see what it says here. Let's look first at leaders who are serving well and they are held in honor, verses 17 and 18. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, "Do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain." And the worker deserves his wages. Anyone who's going into pastoral ministry should expect to extend himself and to work hard. And Paul says the church that calls him should pay him for his work. Now, that pattern is very clear in the Bible. In the Old Testament, the priests were supported by the people of God, by the great congregation, so that they could give themselves to the work God had called them to do on behalf of the people. Paul himself received support from churches that he planted and churches that he visited, though at times he supported himself as a tent maker. Here, Paul makes it clear that those who serve the church should receive their living from the church. That's the principle in this verse. And it's stated again, if you want to follow this up, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 14, where Paul says, those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. Now, some churches have given such emphasis to the priesthood of all believers that they have really lost sight of God's particular call to pastoral ministry. So let me just ask this question, and then I want to answer it. Is it right to hire a pastor? Dangerous question for this guy to ask. Candidly, you know this, the largest part of our church budget is devoted to supporting our staff. Is this the right thing to do? And my answer to that question, and from this scripture, is absolutely it is the right thing to do. It is the right thing for a church to do, because ministry advances through God's people under the leadership of those who are called by God and recognized by the church to devote themselves to this work. Now, that's only the beginning. Let's move on. Because not only do we have a beautiful portrait here of leaders who are serving well and are held in honor, that's a beautiful thing for us to pursue. But also, Paul speaks here, and this is very important, about leaders who are protected and at the same time held accountable. And again, I want to speak from the scripture and to encourage you with regards to the way this is exercised in our church. Leaders who are protected and accountable. Notice verse 19. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. And then he says, verse 20, those who sin are to be rebuked publicly so that the others may take warning. Now, there are two points here, and they are both of great importance. And many of you have been around church for long enough to understand the great significance of these two things. Number one, good leaders need to be protected from bad people. And number two, good people need to be protected from bad leaders. These two things are always threats to the work of the Church of Jesus Christ, and both of them are addressed in two verses that must always be kept together, and they're right here in verse 19 and 20 of 1 Timothy chapter 5. Good leaders must be protected from bad people, and good people must be protected from bad leaders. Now look at what's said about protection here. Godly leaders, remember this, will always be under the attack of the enemy. We all are. Satan is the accuser of all of us. But where a person is put in a position, where people are put in a position by a congregation and asked to take the lead and trusted with the responsibility of leadership, you can be certain that Satan sharpens his arrows and points them in that direction. That is why we all need the belt of truth as the first part of the Christian armor, otherwise Satan will surely have a rout among us. Now, John Calvin says this, commenting on this very verse. I think he must have been having a bad day when he wrote it, but let me tell you what he wrote. He says, "None are more exposed to slanders and insults than godly pastors. They may perform their duties correctly and conscientiously, yet they never avoid 1,000 criticisms." Oh, he must have had a bad breakfast that day. Who had visited his study before he wrote that? I don't know. But you know what? It's true. Paul was constantly slandered by false teachers. And our Lord Jesus Christ was repeatedly slandered and falsely accused. The gossip about him was that he was a glutton and a drunkard. That's what people said about him. And then others even went so far as to say, you know what's the deal with him? He's got Beelzebub, which means he's devil-possessed. That's what they said about the Lord Jesus. And you know the pattern with slander is always the same. Someone comes up with some story or some false statement, and it gets passed around, and then the next 100 people say, finish this statement for me. Well, there's no smoke without... Right, you see? Now, next time you hear that phrase, there's no smoke without fire, just remember that they said about Jesus, he's a glutton and he's a drunkard. So, I don't know how that fits with no smoke without fire. The truth is that Satan sometimes brings lies and slanders, and he seeks to do it to the destruction of the local church. Therefore, because Satan works havoc in the church through these things, elders must restrain the fabricators of gossip and slander and lies. That is a holy calling that is given to spiritual leaders in the church, and that is the whole point that's at the center of verse 19. Because Satan works havoc in the church through these things, elders must restrain the fabricators of gossip and slander and lies. So as God has granted to us in these days such abundant blessing, I want you to see what a gift this is and what a stewardship it is. And how Satan would seek that we should do less for the gospel. And let us commit ourselves in our own mind and heart that we will not be the promoters of rumors and untruths, and that we will not be willing to believe the evil and not the good. Protection. Good leaders do need to be protected from bad people. And thank God for spiritual leaders, for elders who will do this. I thank God for that. But alongside that, and we mustn't separate these two things, there's always the other side. Good people need to be protected from bad leaders. And that's the whole issue of accountability. Verse 20, those who sin are to be rebuked publicly so that the others may take warning. Now, Paul is clearly here talking about a leader, a pastor, an elder who harms the church by his sin. And Paul says that the elders here have a special responsibility to deal with this also. In other words, what we're being taught here is that leaders must be held accountable. And again, for your encouragement, I want you to know how much I thank God for the wisdom with which this is practiced in our church. Pastors, including myself, are accountable to the church board. We serve under their authority. And their authority was given to them by you, the congregation, who approved them to be the members of the board. They have been given authority to protect us, the pastors, and to hold us, the pastors, accountable. This is a good thing. The board can deal with difficulties that may arise in a way that would not be possible for the entire congregation as a whole. And that is something for which thinking people should be deeply and continually thankful to God. So what we have here, folks, is a wonderful pattern for pastors and lay leaders and congregation to work together in a partnership that is productive for the advance of the gospel. The congregation appoints the board, and the board is responsible to the congregation. The board trusts the leadership of ministry to the pastors, and the pastors submit themselves to the authority of the board. The pastors are called and trusted to lead, and the board holds them accountable for their leadership on behalf of the congregation. Now, just before we move on from this, you will understand, perhaps not be surprised, that it's quite common for us here to receive either letters or phone calls from leaders of churches who say, can you recommend a pastor? We're looking for a pastor. Do you have someone who might want to come? And so forth and so on. And a lay leader from another church was talking to one of our people just within the last week or so. And he said this. He said, we're looking for a pastor, and we don't want anyone telling us what to do. So my question was, who would go there? Who would I recommend? You know, at risk of offending dog owners, that is always a risk. They were looking for a poodle pastor. Now, why do people say these things? Because they're quite often heard. Sometimes it is because a little group of lay leaders want to run things themselves. But sometimes, there's always another side, it is because they have been hurt by an authoritarian pastor in the past, and they've said, we're never, never, never going to have that again. So, if you were once bitten by a Rottweiler, it stands to reason that you might think next time you'll go for a poodle. But, folks, here's health. We don't want poodle pastors, and we don't want Rottweilers either. We want leadership and accountability. We want trust, and we want submission. And these are good gifts from God to be celebrated. And I hope that you are thanking God right now and will continue to thank God for these gifts among us today.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message all about gospel leadership. And when we come back, we're going to hear about leaders who are bearing fruit now and forever. So I hope you'll stay with us. Well, if you ever miss a program, you can always come to our website and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org, and there you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen for free through the Open the Bible app, which you'll find at your app store. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, here's the last thing. We've looked at leaders serving well and held in honor. We're looking at leaders who are protected and who are accountable. Here's the last thing. Leaders who are bearing good fruit, both now and forever. Now, verse 24 and 25, Paul's beginning to broaden it out in ways that speak to all of us in our service for Christ. The sins of some men, verse 24, are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not cannot be hidden. Now, what he's saying here at the end of the chapter is that all of us, congregation, board, elders, pastors, whatever the role that we have within the body of Christ, all of us serve in the light of the coming judgment of God. And God sees all things, and he knows all things, and he hears all things, and he forgets no things. Nothing is hidden from him. Now, Paul says the sins of some men are obvious. In other words, some people are just obvious sinners. You see very, very quickly a pattern of life that is destructive, and it's just very obvious. But he says, remember this, that the sins of others trail behind them. Others may present themselves in a way that seems very compelling and very attractive, and yet behind that, behind what you see at first, there is a life that is filled with all kinds of evil. That's what he's saying. The sins of others trail behind them. John Stott, in his commentary, calls this the iceberg principle. You know what the iceberg? What is it, 9/10 below the surface? You only see 1/10 on the top. And he says the same is true with regards to our first impressions of people. He says attractive personalities often have hidden weaknesses, whereas unprepossessing people often have hidden strengths. And Timothy must learn to discern between the appearance and the reality. People are not always what they appear on the surface. And that is why we should exercise caution in appointing people to positions of leadership. That is the whole point of verse 22, where Paul says, "Don't be hasty in laying on hands." What he's talking about there is commissioning a person to leadership. He said, don't be too quick to do that. You get to know the character of people over time. Because over time, you will find that character emerges. Sometimes you will see good that was hidden for a long time. Other times, things will come to light that were not obvious at the beginning. This is simply Christian wisdom for the church. And where it is followed, it will keep the church healthy and it will protect the church from dysfunction. Then he goes on to say this, in the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not cannot be hidden. So what he's saying here is that some good works are immediately recognized, but other good works, ministries that remain very quiet, hidden, things that God's people do that others don't know about, well, remember this, that the God who sees and will judge secret evil is the God who sees and will reward hidden good. That's a marvelous thing for our encouragement. William Barclay calls this, in a beautiful phrase, the impossibility of ultimate concealment. The impossibility of ultimate concealment. What is hidden will be made known. What is secret and hidden with regards to sin will be brought to account on the day of judgment. And what has been unnoticed in beautiful acts of service will be recognized for what it is in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Barclay says this, there are some whose good deeds are plain for all to see, and they have already won the praise and thanks and honor and congratulations of men. But there are others whose good deeds have never been noticed. They have never been appreciated, never thanked, never praised, never valued as they ought to have been. They have always been taken for granted. I wonder if the reason that he ends here, Paul ends here, is that in a healthy church, leaders are often thanked. Your encouragement to me is a blessing more than I could put into words. But the person who does the most hidden job in the church, most of us don't even know. There may be things that you do for the cause of Christ that only you and maybe a couple of other people know about. And so after all this talk about leadership, positions where there is in the nature of things, things that are seen and visible to the congregation, Paul wants us to remember this, that God sees what other people have missed. And Jesus said, that even a cup of cold water that's given in his name will certainly not go without its reward. The judgment of God that should bring fear to those who carry secret sins should bring comfort and joy to those whose good works in Christ are hidden from view. It's beautiful. The impossibility of ultimate concealment. So, if you have not received the honor that is due, if you have not received the protection that you should have been given, remember the Lord Jesus Christ to whom you belong. Leaders held in honor. When the Son of God came into the world, we could not honor the one who angels adore with as much as a bed to be born in. And when he extended himself in ministry to the point of exhaustion, he was constantly slandered, glutton he is, drunkard, Beelzebub. He received no protection but was condemned without the proper testimony of witnesses agreeing together. That's the world for you. That's the world in which we live. But here's the good news. The world never has the last word. God does. That's good news, isn't it? And God vindicated our Lord Jesus Christ and exalted him to the highest place, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, so that now, through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness of sins. And through the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the power to live a new life and to bear new fruit that over time will become evident to all, so that people would see the work of the Spirit and the life of Christ in us. Christ who dies and Christ who rises again holds these gifts in his hands as he offers himself to us today.
You know, I think that really begs the question, have you received the gift that Jesus Christ offers to you? The gift of forgiveness of sins, to experience his grace and eternal life. Maybe you've heard Pastor Cullen talking about that for some time, but you don't know Jesus in that way. You've never received that gift of salvation that Jesus offers to you. I hope you'll contact us today. Talk with one of our staff members about beginning that relationship with Jesus. You can call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. It's your generosity that keeps Pastor Cullen's teaching on this station. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a copy of John Stott's book, The Incomparable Christ. But Cullen, who is John Stott?
Oh, well, John Stott was one of the most influential Christian leaders of the 20th century, a faithful preacher, a wise pastor, a brilliant scholar who served the church faithfully for over 60 years. He really is one of my heroes of the faith. And, you know, I have valued the advice I was given years ago, Steve. Choose a book by its author. And so this is a really good author, but it's a really good author on a really great subject. I mean, this is John Stott on the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus? Jesus was the central focus of all of John Stott's work and life, as he should be the central focus of all of our lives. And this wonderful book just opens up the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ as we find him in the New Testament, as he's inspired people throughout history, and as one day we're going to see him when he comes again in power and glory. For anyone who loves Jesus, to read a great book about Jesus Christ is a good thing to do. And I think this is one of the best books you can read about the person of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for financially supporting Open the Bible this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, the website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
At Open the Bible, we're grateful for like-minded organizations committed to sharing the gospel around the world. And to that end, I'd like to commend the work of Global Fingerprints. You know, in the book of James, God calls us to help orphans in their distress. That's a clear command, but it's not always clear how we should obey it. And this is where Global Fingerprints comes in. Through Global Fingerprints, you can sponsor a vulnerable child to help meet their physical needs and ensure they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to commend Global Fingerprints to you. They're focused on equipping the local church to care for children, and where there is no church, they help to plant one. If you'd like to help a vulnerable child, you can find more information on Global Fingerprints at our website, openthebible.org/GF. That's openthebible.org/GF.